Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we've got another awesome, when I say awesome, I do mean awesome show, very informative show for you today. And again, you're going to be so glad that you had an opportunity to tune in. I would first like to welcome everybody, to welcome all of the new listeners, to, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for tuning in. And for all of the people that have followed the show for a while and even share the links and to share the information with other people, that is so important. It's one thing for us to hear it, but there's so many people out there that need and want information on holistic health, and that's why this show was created, so that people that want and need this information have somewhere to go, okay? And so when you hear the show you're going to hear today, I'm going to invite you to, you know, check out the archives, because we've got shows on holistic health dealing with various topics as it relates to holistic health. We also talk about spirituality. We talk about entrepreneurship. So I want to invite you to take a stroll down the archives and see what you find interesting, and enjoy those shows as well. And for those who are tuning in for the very first time, all you have to do if you want to follow the show is just click follow if you're listening online, and then you'll be able to be notified every time I do a show. You'll be notified of the guest. You'll be notified of the topic, the date, and the time, okay? So, again, thank you so much for tuning in today. We've got a very important show. Today we're going to be discussing, can ovarian cancer be treated naturally? And my special guest to talk about that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. She's the perfect person to talk about whether or not cancer can be treated naturally, because she actually treated herself successfully, actually got rid of cancer. It was cancer of the thyroid, but again, I'll let her tell her story. But first, for those who have never heard it before, let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Lathan is a certified holistic nutritionist and advocate for plant-based nutrition. She inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Ruby worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer, and now teaches others how to re-engineer their lives through living a disease-free lifestyle. And Dr. Lathan, who's a graduate of the University of Alabama, also served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meat options in the national school lunch program. Dr. Lathan is host of the Veggie Chest as well, which is a plant-based cooking show. And through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, Dr. Lathan hosts a number of health conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultations. So if during the show you feel that the information you hear is valid, and I'm sure that it will be, and you want to get in contact with Dr. Lathan for consultations, we'll tell you how you can do that as well. So on to my guest. Dr. Lathan, so great to have you back. It's been a minute, and it's so happy. I'm just excited to be able to share you with the listeners again. I know we've got a powerful show lined up for them today. Thank you so much for agreeing to be my guest again today.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back.
It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. And, I'm always very anxious to share you with the listening audience, because the information that you bring is born out of experience. Oftentimes when talking to people about holistic health, many people have actually learned the benefits of holistic health. You know, I mean, sometimes if you do some research, you realize it's really a no-brainer to change your diet, to live it, and to, you know, at least consider a vegan lifestyle. And a lot of people have done that, but you, it was born out of necessity, and as a result of that, you have a very, very powerful testimony that just lends credence and credibility to your words when you speak. So when we're talking about conditions like cancer and that, whether or not it can be treated naturally, you have experience in that area. Could you share with our listeners again how, for those who've never heard your testimony, what brought you to holistic health and how you know what you know as it relates to being able to treat cancer naturally?
Sure. As you mentioned, you know, it was out of necessity that that I started researching and looking at, you know, how to heal from cancer. And a lot of different types of cancer, it's really the same answer, you know, starting with diet. But there are, you know, obviously supplements and things that help the body heal as well as our emotional state too, that helped the body heal. But, you know, I started with diet, looking at, you know, what would be optimal to help my body heal. And that's where I found out more about plant-based diets and how powerful they were in healing the body. So I switched to that and, you know, made some lifestyle changes and reduced stress and came up with a good nutrition plan and supplements and was able to reverse it in about a year of doing that. So it was definitely life-changing, and I just learned more about how the body works, how the mind works, and like to share that with people so that we can avoid disease and recover when we find ourselves in that situation.
When you were faced with the decision of either following the doctor's recommendations after the doctor had shared with you their findings concerning the thyroid cancer, whether or not to agree to have the thyroid removed or to look at other options, was it ever a consideration, you know, obviously it was an option to have the thyroid removed, but most people, when hearing a doctor's report like that, the first thought in most people's minds is not, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go the holistic route. You know, I'm going to change my diet and, you know, make some lifestyle changes. That's not normally the first thought that pops into people's head. What do you think it was that caused you to make that decision, or was it ever an option? Did you ever even consider allowing the doctors to remove your thyroid?
I considered it briefly. Yes, I did. So, because that's what was presented. But I initially, you know, when I was just given the options, you know, it was just gut feeling, intuition, whatever you want to call it, that said no, pretty right off the bat. That I didn't sound like the right thing to do, and you know, and I decided to listen to that and look at for other options. It was just a very strong emotion, feeling, directive, and that inner voice that you have. And so that was the initial thing, and I think it was just wisdom, knowing that something about this doesn't sound right for me, so I'm going to look at other options. It just didn't feel right. And a lot of times when things don't feel right, we often just ignore it and go forward anyway, because of the pressure, you know, pressure from doctors, pressure from family, friends, spouses, whomever. There's pressure to do the conventional method. And I decided to ignore that because, you know, it's my body, it's my decision, my life, and nobody cares about it more than me. So I'm not going to be irresponsible, as some people thought I was being, or anything like that. I was following my gut, and a lot of times we don't trust ourselves, and we have that voice, and a lot of people call it, you know, the Holy Spirit, intuition, gut. It's all the same directive that we should listen to, and that's what I decided to do. And, you know, and I think as a part of it is also just being a little bit of someone who's always been willing to go against the grain if needed and not follow the crowd, and knowing that no one's always right, and just because a doctor said it doesn't make it true. And so we have to understand that. So it's like, you know, there's a few fundamental mindsets that I've always had. I've always believed that perhaps I'm the exception in a lot of cases, you know, so I'm going to do whatever it is I think is the right thing to do. But always knowing also that just because someone says it doesn't make it so. And a lot of people take the diagnosis or directives from other people and take it as fact and that this is what I have to do. And not realize that they actually have options. And so, you know, I can't fully explain it. I just know that intuition was there, and I decided to listen.
Prior to your condition or having been diagnosed with that, had you ever heard of anybody else before you started actually doing the research and then ultimately finding other people had been able to reverse conditions? But prior to you actually being diagnosed yourself, had you ever heard of anybody, you know, recovering from cancer or other conditions by lifestyles, making lifestyles?
I had, and I think that was a part of it, was also hearing about other people, hearing about other folks who had healed naturally. I often reference a woman, you know, at my church who was much older woman, 70 plus, and said she'd, you know, healed from breast cancer 20 years prior and was doing well. And so I had heard these stories that I didn't really delve into, but just that came to mind when I was diagnosed. And I thought to myself, well, if they can do it, then why can't I? And I always just had an affinity for natural methods. For everything, it's just someone who never really liked taking any form of medication, whether it be aspirin or anything like that, just because there's always side effects. So I just had an affinity for natural things anyway, because it makes sense. And so I'd heard about those things, didn't have any idea about what they did, but decided to research it and see if I could find an answer.
Wow. Thank God you did, because as a result of that challenge that you had, you're able to now help other people who might be experiencing similar, you know, health challenges. And with your testimony being that you actually reversed it, overcame it, the cancer is no longer there. It's gone. You know, you give people hope. You know, there may be people that are listening to this show that either are dealing with cancer or know somebody that is, and we're here to tell you that there is hope. You know, it's not a death sentence. You can reverse it. You can overcome it. There'll be some things that you need to do, and we'll be talking about those things today. So specifically today, we're going to be talking about ovarian cancer. Can ovarian cancer be treated naturally? Can it be reversed naturally? So before we get into ovarian cancer specifically, if you could just lay the foundation, what is cancer? I mean, because it shows up in many different forms. I mean, it shows up in breasts. It shows up in, you know, colon and prostates. I mean, it's all over the place, all over the body. What is cancer? And then we can specifically target the ovaries.
Right. So cancer is basically cells that are growing out of control and not following the blueprint. So cells are supposed to, you know, have a certain lifespan and die and multiply at a certain rate and die off and regenerate. And cancer basically is those cells that, like, lose the roadmap or decide to veer off for whatever reason and start regenerating out of control, not dying when they're supposed to die, invading areas of the body, and multiplying at really fast rates or faster than it should be, creating what we know as cancer. So it's really the simplest way to say it is cancer is really cells gone rogue, and a lot of different things cause that to happen, from environmental to food to emotions, trauma, those kind of things, all can play a role in the development of that scenario.
So when a person has been diagnosed specifically with ovarian cancer, then that, what you just shared takes place in the ovary. Okay. That's correct. So ovarian cancer would be just a situation of cells rogue in the ovaries.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, you know, cancer shows up in various places. In that case, it's on or in the ovaries. Yep.
Now, there's certain different types of ovarian cancer. From, you know, from what I've read, there are three main types: surface, and you can say the word
epithelial. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That one.
Yep.
also stromal cells and germ cells. Could you talk about those? Because there may be somebody out there that's listening that is dealing with specifically one of those types. And would there be a different treatment for that, or for
the
either of those, or would the treatment be the same?
The treatments are going to be the same, really, for all of those. You know, the typical treatment is going to be like surgery or radiation, depending on how far along the stage of the cancer is, you know. But generally, the traditional treatment is going to be pretty much the same. If it's confined to the ovaries, then it's probably just going to be taken out. If not, you know, there's usually going to be chemo, radiation, that kind of thing involved in all of those cases anyway. So it doesn't, the treatment's not going to be vastly different. The one that you mentioned, the epithelial, which is really on the outside, on the outside of the ovary, is the most common type, where it's kind of covering where the cancer cells are formed on the outside tissue of the ovary. The stromal is really interfering with the cells that produce the hormones. So, you know, we all have estrogen and progesterone and testosterone and all those types of things. So it is affecting those cells that produce those types of hormones. And then the germ cells are those that actually affect the cells that produce the eggs, and that is the most rare form. So those are the three kind of in order of the most common to the least common.
So for someone that is dealing with either of these different types, you know, there has to be an origin, you know, there has to be a cause, you know, so I can hear somebody that might be dealing with one of those conditions, of course, wondering, well, how did I get this? You know, how did this come about? You mentioned different things. You mentioned environmental factors, food, you know, different things, stress, and a lot of different things can cause it. And so when being bombarded with, for example, environmental factors on top of stress and eating bad, you know, that's a bad combination. Whether it's, you know, getting cancer in the ovaries or the, you know, what any other part of the body. When talking about the origin of it, cancerous cells are going to affect. Is that it's been said that the cancer cells affect the weakest part of the body, or I guess the part of the body that's more susceptible to, I guess, the invasion of the formation of the cancer cells. Is that correct? The weakest part of the body. So if a woman gets ovarian cancer, it's because the ovaries were that part of the body that were, would you say, weakest?
Sure. I mean, in general, yes. So that's the belief, is that, you know, there are cancer cells pretty much floating throughout our body. And whether they grow or not depends on our immune system and its ability to keep those things in check and to take those cancer cells and bind them and take them out of the system or keep them from proliferating. And then when it does settle somewhere, it is often thought that it's where there is, you know, weakness, the most susceptible part of the body. It could also be things that are already being irritated or agitated through food, like, you know, obviously things that have sex hormones in them, like meat and dairy, can make that part of the body that uses those hormones out of balance or more inflamed or things like that, which would then make that area of the body more susceptible to cancers and other things. So it is definitely, you know, the idea is that, yes, where there's a weakness, that tends to be where the cancer settles in. And that weakness, like I said, can come from various various issues or factors.
If we could, I don't want to assume everybody knows, even, you know, I don't even want to assume that women know their own bodies. So just, I probably should have asked this first, but what are the ovaries, you know, and what are the function of the ovaries? And if an ovary or the ovaries are functioning properly, what is their function? What are they doing if they are functioning properly?
Right. So the ovaries are the part of the female reproductive system, and they're on, like, either side of the uterus, and they contain or produce the eggs that produce life, babies. And so it's a pretty critical part of reproduction. And so that is the main function. There are two of them on each side, about the size or of a large almond, so not very big, but that's what they do. They also produce hormones, as I mentioned earlier, like progesterone and estrogen and those types of hormones that regulate reproduction and the reproductive cycle. So that's the primary function.
I didn't know they were that small. I didn't know they were. I would have thought they were bigger. I'm learning something every day here. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
everything sounds big, but it, you know, there's a lot of stuff in our bodies. You know, these things are all like microscopic when we think of cells and ovums and sperm and all those things. It's very, very, very tiny. The beginnings of life are pretty much microscopic.
Wow. So when the ovaries are removed via, I guess they use, what's that, a hysterectomy to remove the ovaries,
mm-hmm.
that's when the ovaries have just gotten, would there be any other reason to remove them other than that they're cancerous?
Sometimes if there are cysts on the ovaries, they don't usually do it in that case, but that's one case that they're also removed. If you're doing like a total hysterectomy, then everything is removed, including ovaries. So that would be another time that would happen. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons. There's, you know, hysterectomies, a lot of which can be treated naturally as well. But when there's a total hysterectomy, that's when they come out. But usually they're just taking the ovaries out. It's usually for cancer or cysts that are painful or don't go away.
You know, as I was preparing for the show today and reading up on ovarian cancer, one of the things that I came across was ovulation, that I guess women who had just constantly ovulating, that contributed to ovarian cancer. Has that been your understanding as well?
You know, just from what I have read there, and as with most cancers, they say they don't really know
what started it.
Yeah, why it is. I hadn't heard that that it's, you know, the you know, constantly doing that, because that's kind of regulated. So maybe if things are happening faster than they should, sure, that could, you know, cause inflammation or something going on there. But that's not something that I'm really familiar with, in that being the cause. It's not listed as like the common cause of ovarian cancer.
Well, when it comes to people who may have found themselves or diagnosed, or the doctors have diagnosed the person with ovarian cancer, certainly one of the first reactions is probably going to be fear, okay, in that individual. Fear and anxiety, you know, you talk about, you mentioned the role of stress as well. Could you talk about those emotions and even how, I would assume that fear and anxiety would play a large role in, that could be considered a stress reaction, okay? Could you talk about the stress reaction and stress and even how fear, I mean, because somebody could have gotten this news and just be totally fearful. I mean, of course, you know, the doctors are saying, you know, you've got cancer. I mean, cancer is you know, just something that's going to strike fear in the heart of the recipient of that news. Could you talk about fear and its effect, its stress effect on the, or the stress response, responding with stress to news like that and its effect? Because oftentimes when people think of stress, they think of, you know, maybe being in a stressful job or being in a stressful relationship. And of course that would play a role as well. But even fear and anxiety, those stress reactions can have an effect on the body as well, correct?
Absolutely. Sure. Stress is what's often called the silent killer, because sometimes you don't realize that it's because we normalize what it feels like and don't realize that our bodies are being stressed, or we overstress ourselves with, you know, emotional things, lack of sleep, or just stress from bad food and environment relationships. All of that stress has a physical manifestation, so it doesn't, it's not just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not doing something. It does. It causes an inflammatory response in the body. You know, stress is supposed to be a short-term thing for important tasks that need to happen in a short amount of time, and that's why we have stress hormones and things like that. But we tend to have created a lifestyle that causes chronic stress, which releases all these hormones and things, which causes inflammation in the body and causes weaknesses in the body and causes illness, and definitely doesn't help cancer at all, because of this the body's being overworked and over, you know, producing more hormone than it should. So fear, all of that's the same kind of emotion that does produce excess hormones, so that are not good for the body. So yep, stress is definitely not where you want to sit with. You want to find ways to alleviate, release stress, and replace it with positive emotions and thinking, and that type of thing.
So is it safe to say that whatever the cause is, if, you know, again, people say that they don't, the doctors say they don't know, and of course, again, you've outlined some, you know, different factors, environmental, of course, stress, diet, but whatever the origin of the ovarian cancer, is it safe to say that if you remove or eliminate whatever the cause was, you're going to eliminate the ovarian cancer? You're going to reverse the ovarian cancer if you eliminate, for example, if it was caused by diet, for example. If you change your diet, is it safe to say then that you can remove or reverse the ovarian cancer if it was caused by a stressful, you know, lifestyle or whatever, and it showed up in your body as ovarian cancer, that if you remove the stress, whatever the cause is, if you reverse the cause, you can reverse the condition. Is that safe to say?
That's generally, yeah, that's safe to say. And sometimes we have to understand there's multiple causes. Sometimes it's not singular. So where you change the diet would be a great first start to not introducing, you know, animal hormones that are very almost the same as ours in terms of estrogen and all these things, taking that in and dairy and all that kind of thing, definitely a place to start. but it's usually multifaceted. So I would say absolutely start with things like the obvious stuff is diet or lack of activity and not exercising, and then also look at our emotional feelings around reproduction and things like that. Also just the stress factor, relationships, and all those things. So I think it requires a very holistic viewpoint of thinking, because if diet played a role, but also relationships played a role, and you just deal with diet, you might improve your body, but it might not heal everything, you know, because we're still dealing with some of that cause. So we want to be holistic with it and make sure, you know, a lot of times illness requires us turning everything around and examining the way we've been living in every aspect. And it's, you know, it's not like an indictment that you've been doing a lot of wrong things. It's really more of a wake-up call that we get kind of lulled into a certain lifestyle that hasn't been healthy for us, sometimes without even realizing it. So it's more of a, okay, this is now your opportunity to take a closer look at everything in your life and do what's necessary to get on track and to get in balance.
So let's, since we mentioned diet, just stay there for a moment. There may be somebody listening that has heard that a vegan lifestyle is healthier than, you know, eating meat and dairy and all of those things, but they might not have ever heard why. What's wrong with meat, Doc? Specifically for somebody that is dealing with ovarian cancer, what effect would meat have on delaying, if they continue to eat meat, delaying the healing process or interrupting the healing process?
Right. So with cancer and any cancer, especially reproductive cancers, they're going to be sensitive to reproductive hormones. So we generally don't want to introduce additional hormones in our system. We don't, because our body makes all that we need. And so when we introduce them through animal products, which is the only way you're going to introduce those type of reproductive hormones that are almost the same as ours and act the same in the body as ours, then that causes problems and disruption. So the introduction, especially of hormones like estrogen, which animal estrogen, which feeds cancer in a lot of cases, is something that you don't want to do. So that's the starting point. The second part is that there's a lot of studies that just show the toxicity of meat in the body. When it's cooked at high heat, how it becomes very cancerous and toxic. When it's cooked at low heat, it also is toxic to the body. Not as cancerous, but, you know, you do have the running the risk of pathogens and things in the meat if it's not cooked at high heat enough to kill those things. So there's like tons of evidence that show that animal products, you know, raise cholesterol, increase the clogging of arteries, and introduce saturated fat that we don't need, introduce cholesterol that we don't need, introduce a lot of things that we don't need, but they don't introduce the things you need to heal, which are primarily antioxidants. They have zero antioxidants, none, not a single one.
Mm-hmm.
So meat and dairy is going to have zero antioxidants. That's the primary healing mechanism of the body. So when you're eating meat, you're weighing your body down with something that's very hard to digest. And then you're also introducing all these other negative things that I just said, the cholesterol, saturated fat, and hormones. And if you're eating traditional meat, you're introducing antibiotics and growth hormones, steroids, animals that have had a very poor diet of unnatural things that they don't normally eat. They take vegetarian animals like cows and often feed them chicken parts and other parts that they would not eat. Cows eat grass, and they also sometimes feed those cows cow byproducts as well. So you have a very unhealthy animal in a very confined living environment. So usually, often, if you're eating at, you know, traditional fast food places or chain restaurants, you're getting the lowest quality that there is with animals that were raised in the most horrendous conditions, and then you're taking that into your body. So none of that is healthy. So what is introduced, you do get some protein and some macronutrients that we need, but all of those nutrients can be derived from plants, and plants introduce fiber, they introduce antioxidants. You only find antioxidants in fruits and vegetables and whole grains, those type of foods. So they introduce the antioxidants you need to heal. They introduce the fiber that you need to heal that often binds with free radicals that cause cancer, to take cancer out of the body. And it lowers, it also binds with excess hormones to take out of the body. The fiber does that as well. So you get all the macronutrients, the protein, and all those things that you need, plus everything else that you need to heal. So it just doesn't make sense to introduce something that adds so much harmful things to get a few nutrients that you could get out of plant products without the added work for the body and the added toxins. So that's the short story of it. We could go into a lot of detail about why, you know, meat is not good. Even if it's organic, range-free, it still introduces those free radicals. It still introduces animal hormones, and it still introduces saturated fat and cholesterol. It's just that when you're eating the commercially raised stuff, it's even worse. So it's like bad to worse, not good to bad. It's bad to worse. So, you know, it's like, do I want bad or do I want worse? So that's really the option that you're looking at when you're talking about like the range-free type stuff, which I do recommend. If you're going to eat meat, you do want to go on the lower end of bad. So I'm not saying don't do the best you can. Do the best you can, but realize that's not all that you can do. So.
Well, let me just give everybody an opportunity to jump in. If you are listening online and you have a question, or you're on by phone, all you have to do is press 1. And if you'd like to speak with Dr. Lathan, I can bring you on and you can ask your question or make your comment. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. A special guest today is Dr. Ruby Lathan. We're talking about can ovarian cancer be treated naturally? And as you can see, yes, it can. Doc, I'd like to talk about results for a moment because, again, you know, people have heard your testimony of curing yourself of thyroid cancer. And, of course, hearing a testimony as inspirational as that is going to give individuals hope that, wow, like you said, if you heard other people could do it, you could do it. But when it comes to that, we have to be careful not to, because we're not selling anything here. We're not, you know, saying, okay, Dr. Lathan's, you know, selling the miracle cure for cancer. You know, she's not selling a pill. You know, Dr. Lathan, as you can see, is giving you information on how you can heal you. You know, she can coach you, okay, but ultimately you're going to have to be the one to go to the store and get your groceries. You're going to have to be the one to, you know, follow the recommendations and make the necessary changes in your lifestyle. Again, no judgment saying, nobody suggesting that, you know, that the lifestyle that you were leading was a bad lifestyle. But unfortunately, we find ourselves where we find ourselves, and there are causes for that. But I just wanted to make it clear that Dr. Lathan is not selling a pill. You know, I think that's what a lot of people are waiting for, is the pill. But could you speak on that for a moment, Dr. Lathan, that you had to actually do the work? You gave your testimony and talked about how you had to make the necessary changes. You had to, you know, alleviate certain things from your life. And it was work. And it wasn't just, oh, I'm going to wake up and, you know, go vegan for a week and then go back to the doctor and everything's going to be gone. It's a process, and a lot of your healing will depend on the results will depend on where were you when you started, number one, right? I mean, how far along were you when you started? How far had the condition even progressed before you got started? Correct, Doc?
Yeah, absolutely. There, it is a process, and it, you know, it doesn't have to be difficult, but just know that it does require some patience and some, you know, change. And change, for whatever it is usually not that easy. So that's usually the hard part. What you need to do isn't really the hard part. It's really accepting the change that needs to happen, you know, from habits that we have and to do something different. So, it does definitely, you know, depend on where you are. You know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of times with ovarian cancer, when it's detected, because there are not a lot of symptoms, it's far along in the process. So, you know, it's at that point, it's sometimes spread to other parts of the body and becomes aggressive. And so you have to be aggressive in the approach as well. And so, you know, so it's unfortunate that a lot of this isn't found until it's late stage and spreading, which is why I believe in preventative, you know, methods so that we're not in that situation. But yes, it's a process, you know, it's one step at a time, so you don't overwhelm yourself and get stressed about not being stressed or stressed about the process. That doesn't help either. You know, so it's something that you have to feel comfortable with, you have to have faith about, and be ready to move forward, and sometimes in the face of opposition. But you have to make a smart decision for yourself and where you are in the process. You know, what your diagnosis is matters, and you need to, you know, weigh that in terms of what you're going to do. Now, making the changes that we're talking about is going to be helpful pretty much in any situation, whether you're doing 100% natural treatment, or if you're doing a combination of natural and traditional, or if you're doing all traditional treatment. Any changing diet to a diet that is healthy and plant-based is going to be beneficial. It's going to help you recover faster. Regardless of any of these things that you do, it's going to help the body heal. So it's definitely recommended. And then there are things that specifically have been shown to maybe be a little more helpful for ovarian cancer, things like ginger, which is something I use every day because it just reduces inflammation in the body, and why not do that every day? So eating raw ginger, like an inch a day, maybe 2 inches or three. If you actually have ovarian cancer, you could juice it in a juice, or you can put an inch or two in a smoothie. It's been shown to help fight those particular types of cancer cells. Green tea has been one that's been shown to help fight ovarian cancer as well. Again, something I try to do regularly because it's not just ovarian cancer. It's been shown to help boost the immune system and help fight lots of types of cancer. I always recommend with tea that it should be organic. Tea with just the tea leaves, no extra ingredients, which sometimes are snuck into cheaper brands of tea. It's not really tea. So those type of things are definitely really helpful for helping fight that. Things like ginkgo is one that has been shown to help repair DNA cells, the DNA of cells. So ginkgo biloba, you know, the one that's thought to be the good for the brain and memory, also has been shown to be helpful for these types of ovarian cancer cells. And then omega-3s is good for everything. I always recommend omega-3 fatty acids, but not fish oil, but omega-3 oil that would be from algae-based, which is where the omega-3 originates. So those are like basic things that you should definitely include. And even if you're great and healthy, you can still include that as well. You know, things that I took, like things in the onion and garlic family, and also mushrooms have also been shown to be helpful in fighting cancer, especially the shiitake and maitake mushrooms, which you can take as an extract. So and then I know there's a lot of debate about soy, but soy has been shown to be protective against reproductive cancers like this and breast cancer, and so because they're isoflavin. So we want to make sure we're not doing processed soy and junk food soy, but organic miso tempeh have been shown to be helpful, and flax seeds as well.
What about soy milk, Doc?
Yeah, organic soy milk also. So just make sure the soy is organic and unsweetened. So those are some things that have, you know, shown to be helpful, as well as the flax seeds. You know, taking flaxseed oil have been very helpful too. So that's something that it's easy to do in a smoothie. Add about 3 tablespoons of flax seeds, but you want to make sure they get ground up either in a blender or grind up before you use them in order for them to get the lignans that are really the part that help boost the immune system and help fight cancer. So flax seeds are going to be an important part of that as well. So, and those are all things that are very easy to get in, garlic and onion and things like that, that you can get in pretty much every day, which is what you'd want to do to help with that.
You know, we talked about the benefits of eating a holistic diet as treatment, but if somebody has gone to the physician and the physician has diagnosed them with allopathic, you know, remedies, and there may be somebody listening right now that is actually taking the doctor's recommendations, whether it's chemo or radiation, what would be the downside to that, Dr. Lathan? You know, we talk about eating a holistic diet being better than the treatment that the doctors are offering. What's the downside to radiation and chemo?
Well, the downside is if it doesn't work, it makes it much harder for the body to heal because you have the chemo breaks down the immune system to very low, almost wiping it out. So you have to rebuild that back up, which it makes you, you know, susceptible to other things. But it becomes very hard to heal when you switch to then, let's say, natural after you've gone through chemo. Not that you can't do it. It's just harder because the system has been pretty much decimated through chemo and radiation. Both of those things are just very hard on the body. They sometimes have a lot of side effects where they have unintended scarring and effects that affect other organs of the body that no longer work properly. Sometimes the lymph nodes get out of whack and you get lots of swelling and things that don't go down. Different conditions that are brought on specifically by chemo and radiation. So, you know, and how it happens just depends on your body. It doesn't, there's no, this is definitely going to happen or not going to happen. It just depends on the dose and how strong your body is to handle it. So, you know, you can do things like juicing and eating very healthy and eating a lot of antioxidants throughout the process to help minimize the effects, and lots of probiotics and things like that to build your body back up while you're going through it, but it does damage things and just makes it very, very difficult. You know, lots of different, you know, scar tissue, lymphedema, things like that. All kinds of things happen. It just depends on how it pops up for you. So, you know, you want to be positive going into it so that it minimizes the effects, but you should know that there are effects.
Could you talk for a moment about the microwave, speaking of radiation? You know, a lot of times people might feel like, you know, they're just hearing this information for the first time. If you're taking somebody that's coming to all of this holistic health information for the first time, I mean, a microwave is standard in many and probably most American homes. But there are dangers to the microwave, and somebody that's trying to heal from ovarian cancer or any cancer definitely needs to know the effects of the microwave on the body. Could you talk about those effects?
Right. I mean, radiation is kind of like standing in front of a full-body microwave where you're getting, you know, nuked to a degree. So, you know, the microwave definitely damages food in a way that and kind of poisons it, to put it simply. Kind of makes food that would be normally healthy. It depletes, in some cases, some of the nutrients from it. It turns meat products and things carcinogenic because of the way the food is heated. It minimizes quite a bit of the nutrition and the enzymes in it. So that's on the soft end, is it minimizing nutrients. On the bad end, it actually makes food that wasn't a carcinogen into more of a carcinogen or a carcinogen, period. So it's really not something you want to use at all to heat food with. It's just, it's too fast. The rate at which it heats is too fast, and it damages the food. So, and then there is the radiation itself, which often seeps out of the microwave, so you shouldn't be standing in front of it or near it when it's on, because you're exposed to that. So that's, and we know that radiation causes cancer. There's no debate about that. So being near it is not a good thing. And just because it's a ubiquitous household appliance does not mean that it's safe. There's a lot of things that everybody has that's not safe, and the microwave is one of them. So we shouldn't be using it at all to heat anything that's going to go in the body.
You know, doctor, when somebody has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer or any cancer or any condition that's considered dangerous or life-threatening, part of them getting healed is them having the mindset that going to be healed. They have to think that the changes, the lifestyle changes that they're undergoing, that it's going to work. They have to believe that it's going to work, and they have to actually see themselves getting better. If you could talk about the role of even meditation and visualization in the healing process, because for somebody with ovarian cancer to actually recover, to make a full recovery from that holistically, part of that is going to have to be them actually believing and seeing that they're going to be actually seeing themselves healthy again. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. It's a good question. I had some question about that earlier, about meditation and visualization and what that really is about. And you know, there's a lot of, I think, you know, misconception about what it is, but, you know, meditation, for those who aren't that familiar, may think that it's something very mystical or something like that, when it really is a very scientifically proven method of healing your body. And basically, when you meditate, you know, focus on breathing, deep breaths, and we all know that breathing is very helpful. Deep breaths are very relaxing, but focusing on that helps slow down the brain waves. And when you slow down the brain waves, it's like relaxation for the brain. And when the brain relaxes, it's able to heal better. It's able to focus better. It's why it helps with mental conditions as well. Meditation helps with a lot of, you know, overactive mental problems because you're slowing the brain down. So that's a really useful technique to allow to help your body heal, because we're overstimulated just living, especially in this country, with so many things from our computers, the phones, and a lot of stuff going on that we need to take the time. Basically, it's a timeout for the brain, and when the brain has that timeout, it starts to heal. And allow the body to heal. And then when you add visualization to that, which is then focusing on what you want your body to do, sending those signals in your mind's eye, you know, a mental image of what you want your body to do. And it should be in a very positive aspect, whether it's a, you know, tumor shrinking or the cancer going away or your body just being totally healthy, whatever it is, a very vivid image as if you could paint it, if you told someone they could draw it for you. That's how vivid you want the image to be. That's giving your mind mental cues. This is what we're going for. This is what we're working toward. And that helps the healing process because it produces good hormones and good feeling things like endorphins that help the body heal. When you see yourself as well, your body produces more alkalinity and that your body's in a more healing state when that happens. So it takes you from a worry state to a positive state. So it's like when you're worrying, you really want to stop and do the opposite of that. And the opposite of that is thinking about what you actually want to happen and not what you don't want to happen. And then you can put that positive energy there, and then your body responds with positive hormones and alkalinity and other things that help the body heal. The body chemistry changes when you're thinking of good things and you're thinking of healing. And so the more you keep your body in that positive state, the easier and more likely it is to heal, and it helps bring it about. So very powerful tools that we should use. The more we know about how the brain works and that our thoughts shouldn't just be random things, and we shouldn't. And it's very difficult to heal if you're thinking about death and you're thinking about fear and you're in this very fearful, you know, pensive, scary state. That's not a mental state for healing. We have to switch that. One of the easiest ways to do that is through meditation and visualization.
Can you even talk about the television for a moment? Because oftentimes when people are watching the news, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news, right? You might hear about drive-bys. You might hear about police brutality. I mean, you might hear about all kinds of things that can get you worked up emotionally. And if you're trying to heal, even the very images that you watch on a daily basis are going to be important, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. We really want to make sure that you're taking in positive things when you're trying to heal, not things that make you scared or make you cry or sad. Or, you know, the best thing to take in if you're going to watch TV is something that makes you laugh and that makes you happy, because those create those positive endorphins in the body and healing things that actually help alleviate pain. And it produces those types of things in the body that you want to happen, to be more of produced. So that would be the only thing you really want to take in, is something that makes you feel good. So watching the news, watching about murder and all these other things is not where you want to be, because that's not going to help you to heal. So you definitely want to guard your mind when you're in the healing process to make sure that it's good, that you're taking in, you know, good things.
Doctor, in the last few moments, could we talk about juicing and fasting for a moment? Because I know you're a proponent of fasting and a proponent of juicing for somebody who has ovarian cancer or any other condition, but today's show specifically on ovarian cancer. What role would fasting and juicing play? And if a person decides that they want to go the holistic route, but the doctor has them on allopathic medicine, could they fast and still take the medication, or would because some things are supposed, they're told to only take with food or take with a meal. Would fasting interfere with the allopathic medication?
In some cases, it depends on what the medication is. So that's kind of a specific thing. In general, juicing is going to be very helpful. Usually with chemo, it's something that you go and have, you know, do at the hospital, doctor's office or whatever. So usually it's up to you what you eat in between. So that generally does not have a interfere with like taking chemo. So you can definitely still, in most cases, you know, juice and that kind of thing. You just want to make sure you're, you know, chemo often makes people very weak and tired. So you want to make sure you're getting enough nutrients in, but sometimes juicing is kind of the best thing because you don't have a lot of appetite anyway, but you're still getting quite a bit of nutrients in when you're juicing. So that's usually going to be very helpful. And you can either just add juicing as meals or juice fasting. You probably want to get some, you know, advice from a healthcare professional before you do a fast while you're doing chemo or on these medications, just to make sure that's the best thing, especially if you're supposed to take things with food. So, but if you're doing chemo and that's pretty much it, and they've told you, you know, you can eat whatever, juicing would definitely be recommended.
And know this, everybody, if you're dealing with ovarian cancer and you decide that you're going to share with your doctor that you're contemplating going the holistic route, I wouldn't look for support from the doctor, from your physician, from that, you know. Would you, Dr. Lathan? I mean, because they've got, you know, they're in a totally different business, you know. And so oftentimes people have shared with their doctor what they plan to do, and they don't necessarily get the emotional support that they're looking for. Dr. Lathan, you kind of experienced that, right?
Right. They're definitely not versed, and most doctors aren't versed in natural methods, juicing. I've had, you know, doctors tell people don't juice and have a steak to get your protein up and that kind of thing. So they're often not versed in nutrition and what the benefits and the goals and how it's done. So you're probably not going to get a lot of support unless you have the exceptional, you know, doctor who is familiar with the benefits of these things, mm-hmm. but oftentimes they're not. So that's not where you're going to find much support for anything really natural.
Well, everybody, I know that you've gotten a lot to chew on today. You know, so definitely want to encourage everybody. You can go back and listen to this show again. You can actually go back and listen to it again. It's going to be archived approximately 30 minutes after the show ends. You can go back and listen to it again. You can share the link, copy the link and share it with whomever, you know, whether it's on Facebook, email it. You can do whatever you want to do with it, but spread the word because there are people that actually need this information. Dr. Lathan has actually got an event coming up this Saturday, and you can actually – if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you can actually get out there to the event and hear her live and actually, you know, get more information on holistic health. Doc, can you tell them about the event you've got coming up on Saturday?
Sure. So, yes, on this Saturday in the afternoon, I'm going to be at the Meditation Museum in Silver Spring. I'm going to be talking about cooking with compassion and cooking for peace. They have a series called Cooking for Peace, and every time they have a guest speaker, kind of focus on a different aspect of that. So we'll be talking about what that means and definitely cooking to heal. So that's going to really be the topic for that session.
Wow, and that's going to be a free event, right? So everybody, money's not going to be an issue, so you can go out there. And can you share the time of that, Dr. Lathan?
It's at 1:30, and people can go to my website to get the exact address at rubylathan.com and just go to the events page, and they will see it there.
Also, you've got the recordings of the Holistic Health Summit that you did. People can actually get those recordings if they missed it live, correct?
They can. So they are here, and it was from our 2018 D.C. Holistic Health Summit, where it was a phenomenal day, a completely full day, so much so that we went from DVD to thumb drive because it was very hard to fit all that incredible information on one DVD. So we have thumb drives, USB drives that you can put into your TV or your computer, and you can order those online too. So, and those will be available this evening online. So folks can order those and have it available to watch and share with friends and family members. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to take a moment and thank you for all of your years of working with people and sharing this powerful, positive, life-changing, life-saving information, because it's so necessary. I mean, everybody knows somebody that's dealing with some sort of a health challenge. And, you know, we who have found the way, you know, those of us who have chosen a holistic health path and want to share it with our family, our loved ones, our friends, you know, we need people like you to break it down for us, you know, because a lot of times when I'm talking to people, you know, I recommend them to you all the time. You know, I'm like, well, listen, I can't explain it the way Dr. Lathan can explain it. So, you know, I'm always constantly sharing people with you, or sharing, you know, your information with people so that they can hear you, they can hear your testimony and hear your expertise. You're so very knowledgeable, and I encourage everybody. Dr. Lathan coaches, okay? So if you heard this show today and you've got ovarian cancer and you feel like, this is what I need, I came to this on purpose, you know, whether somebody referred you to the show or you're here on your own, you're here. And if you feel like this information is for you, and you feel like, I want to do this, but I need somebody to hold my hand. You know, I've never done this before. I don't know what to eat. I don't know what to juice. I don't know how to fast. I don't know how to do those things. Well, Dr. Lathan can help you to do those things, okay? She will coach you through the whole process, okay? So, Dr. Lathan, can you give your information on how people can reach you in case they just want coaching, or even if they want you to come out and speak at their event? How can people get in contact with you?
Sure. People can reach me via my website, which is rubylathan.com, RubyLathon.com. Or you can email me at info@rubylathan.com, or by phone at 202-709-7829. It's 202-709-7829, and the email is info@rubylathan.com.
You know, Dr. Lathan, lastly, I don't know, is there anything else that you wanted to share on ovarian cancer that we didn't cover? And if not, there may be somebody out there listening that has ovarian cancer. There may be somebody out there that needs to hear words of inspiration from you, because they may have gotten the bad report from the doctor, and they may be sitting on the fence. The doctor's suggesting chemo and radiation, or they may have already started the chemo and radiation, and they heard your testimony today, and they're like, wow, I want that same testimony. Somebody needs hope today. Can you share some words of inspiration before we go?
Absolutely. You know, the body does heal, and, you know, regardless of what approach you've taken, the body can heal. So I would say we got to start, number one, with belief, because that's extremely important. And there's always something you can do that it's in your hands, and you know, you can get help and get support if you're unfamiliar with, you know, doing natural things to help your body heal. But it's extremely worth it, because that's how it was designed, to be naturally well and to be naturally healed. So I'd say know that the body can heal itself when you give it what it needs. And regardless of what approach you're taking, there's always probably something you can do to boost that approach and to give yourself a better chance at complete healing.
Dr. Lathan, thank you so much again for your time, for your service, for all that you do to help us stay healthy. Thank you so much. You're a blessing to the planet, my sister. Thank you. I appreciate your time today. Great show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Glad I could join.
Thank you.
Bye.
Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, you definitely want to, if you've never done this before, remember it's a process, okay? And, you know, we need a guide. We need a compass. We need somebody to take us by the hand and show us what to do. You know, if you've never done it before, it can be daunting. You hear the doctor tell you that you've got ovarian cancer, that just sounds scary. You know, that just sounds fearful, okay? But you can reverse it. But there are certain things that you're going to have to do. Again, Dr. Lathan's not selling a pill, okay? She's giving information. And I invite you to come and join us in Juwanza for Life, or Health, Wealth, and Divine, because that's what we're talking about, your health, your wealth, and your divinity. You can follow the show. And again, every time that there's a show, you'll be notified. We'll tell you who the guest is, the topic, the date, the time. And when you're trying to heal, you need all the positive vibes that you can get. You need people telling you that you can do it. And you need information. You know, sometimes we hear information from people that mean well, but just don't know. But they mean well. And we feel their heart that they mean well, and because we know that they mean well, sometimes we listen, even though it might not make any sense. We just know that they mean well. We need to listen to people that know what they're talking about, okay? And just because somebody has a plaque on the wall does not necessarily mean that they know what they're talking about. So it's important to listen. That's why I wanted everybody to hear Dr. Lathan's testimony, because she reversed her cancer. She's not talking from third-hand experience. You know, she knows somebody who knows somebody who said that they cured themselves of cancer. She did it. And she's saying to you that if you follow a certain recommendations or certain recommendations, you can increase the odds that you too can have a testimony like that. In our archives, we have shows of other people that have cured themselves of cancer. Okay? There's a brother by the name of Coy Dunstan. He cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon by changing her lifestyle. See, we're not inundated with this information because this stuff doesn't make the news. When somebody gets cured of cancer, you don't turn on the TV and hear about that. I didn't hear about Dr. Lathan's testimony on television. I didn't hear about Coy Dunstan's testimony on television. You have to run in the circles to get that information. And if you got this information because somebody referred you to this show, know that that person cares about you. That person cares about your life so much that they wanted you to hear Dr. Lathan today. That person loves you. Now, do you love you enough to at least, if you've never heard this information before, to consider it? Because sometimes, if we've never heard something before, we won't even consider it. You'll be like, oh, that don't make no sense. I don't believe that. Well, if you say that you don't believe something, that non-belief has to be based on something. You have to have another set of information to contradict the information that you just heard that makes more sense to you so that you can come up with the conclusion that you don't believe something. But you can't say, I don't believe that, if number one, you've never tried it, and number two, you haven't researched it. The Chinese have a parable or a saying, and that saying is, no investigation, no right to speak. So now, today, you've heard Dr. Lathan. That was part of your investigation. That was part of your looking into this, okay? Don't stop there. We've got other shows with Dr. Lathan. We've got shows with Dr. Ted Watkins. He's a medical doctor, graduated from Howard University School of Medicine in 1977. He had decided he was going to be a surgeon. God called him out of that, and now he teaches on holistic health. His shows are in the archives, okay? So, again, I invite you to scroll down the archives and listen to shows. This environment, Holistic Health, Health, Wealth, and Divine, was created with you in mind. This was created for you so that you have a place to go, because it's not easy when you're dealing with health challenges. We don't even consider our health until we get a bad report. You know, I got hit by a car and couldn't walk, was in a wheelchair. I hadn't even thought about walking until I saw everybody else walking, and I couldn't walk. Okay? The doctors told me that if I didn't have surgery, I wouldn't walk right again. But at the time I got hit, I was hosting a holistic health show. I was like, you know what? Jawanza, either this stuff that you've been talking about and telling other people about, either it's going to work for you or it's not. You need to try it. I had never had an opportunity to even test it before. I tried it. Instead of the surgery, I started juicing. I started fasting. Before you know it, the ligaments in my knees started getting better. And before you know it, I was walking, I was running, and no problems whatsoever. So that's my little testimony. It's not like Dr. Lathan's, okay? But I know for a fact that it worked for me, and it can work for you. So prayerfully, if you're hearing this information for the first time, pray about it, okay? Ask God, what should you do? But you know what? Like Dr. Lathan talked about, that little voice inside of her that spoke to her, maybe that little voice is speaking to you. Maybe that little voice is saying, you know what? I just heard the answer to my prayer. It could have came through somebody else. Somebody told you to tune in, and you did, and God spoke to you. Now, the question is, what are you going to do? You can call Dr. Lathan tomorrow and schedule an appointment. She will coach you through the process. And if you've never done this before, you're like, I don't know how to prepare vegetarian food. Check out the Veggie Chest. That's V-E-G-G-I-E Chest on YouTube, Dr. Lathan. Just punch in Dr. Lathan, Dr. Ruby Lathan, the Veggie Chest. She hosts a show, and she actually shows you how to prepare, how to juice certain things if you've never done it before. Okay? So it's very important, though, very important, when listening to people share about holistic health, if you contact Dr. Lathan and you schedule an appointment and she begins to coach you, it is important that you follow the instructions to the letter, to the letter. We can't do, you know, we can't eat good one day, eat bad the next, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, do things right one time and then, you know, do things bad and expect to get the results that we're looking for. Of course, it is a process. If you start and you fall off, dust yourself off, get back up, okay, and get back on the plan. Not your plan, okay, but the plan has been laid out for you by the experts who've done it before. I want to say thank you so much to all of the people that have tuned in today that are hearing this voice. Again, this could be the answer to your prayers. To all of the people that shared this information with other people, to all of the people that are out there spreading sunshine, you're brightening up this world. Thank you. Thank you so much. Everybody, my name is Jawanza. Again, please check out the archives. I think you'll find something in there that you'll find very, very interesting and beneficial. This format was created for you so that you have a place to go. Because, hey, sometimes we just need to get away from the world. Sometimes we just need to get away from the rat race, right? So if you ever want to get away from the rat race and you want to hear about holistic health, you want to hear about positivity, you want to hear about, you know, things that are inspirational, come here. Come here. The door is always open. My name is Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?